Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
I'm very much looking forward to this session with all of you, because I feel it will be very exciting and very inspiring for our spiritual life. I would like to start this afternoon's presentation with a little attempt to tune all of us into the subject of this seminar, which is therapeutic hearing. We have chosen this subject because when we hear about Krishna Katha, or we hear about Krishna's divine pastimes, an effect, a therapeutic effect is there. The problems of anger or lust or illusion, this darkness in the heart becomes dispelled, because Krishna is not different from his transcendental subject matter. And if Krishna enters through the path of our ears into the core of our heart, it's like the sun enters into a dark place, our darkened materialistic hearts, and will dispel everything. Especially what will go away when we hear about Krishna through the path of the ears, anxiety and fears, or to speak it in a modern word, insecurities will leave the heart. I do remember when I was before a major operation where I had to be operated on the head, on the stomach, and on the foot. I was in great bhaya, or fear. So I decided to test this statement that by hearing about Krishna, we lose the fear. And I, before taking the injections which would dull my consciousness so that I could be brought into the surgical theater and then the operation theater and then be operated upon, I listened for 1 hour about Krishna Katha, and I felt really that my heart was free from fear. the person who gave me the first injection, which is usually given to the patient before they are rolled into the operation theater to help them to calm down, said, "You're the most calm patient I have ever seen, yet you are so sensitive. You're the most sensitive patient. What did you do?" I said, "Krishna Katha, therapeutic hearing. That's my secret." In the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 9th chapter, text 11, we find something about this Shrutekshita path, this path of hearing. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hritsaroja ase shrutekshita pato nanunata pungsam yad yati atat urugaya vibhavayanti tat tat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. O my Lord, the verse says, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So here we find a path through which Krishna enters our hearts, Bhattasetuji. Welcome, by the way. Prabhupada says the Shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form. The pure devotee desires him, and thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. Let us summarize. Summary. When we hear in the proper way, then Krishna enters through the pathway of our ears into our hearts and becomes manifested in the heart. And together with his manifestation, we will experience another small manifestation, the manifestation of our Swarup Siddhi, that is our eternal identity. When the devotee, in other words, hears sufficiently about Krishna, he will get a glimpse of his eternal identity and relationship to Krishna, and from there he will be able to be full in Krishna consciousness and enter the divine pastimes of Krishna. This is how powerful the path of hearing is, and a very good illustration of this wonder is one devotee, the wife of our Swami from Scotland, please help me. Who is our healthy Swami from Scotland? Puri Maharaj. Puri Maharaj, yes. Our Puri Maharaj is in his Purva Ashram, in his previous ashram, when he was a Grihastha, had a wife who had a serious cancer, and she was in the process of leaving her body. Once her husband was outside the ill room, the sick room where she was lying, and he saw for a moment a spark coming from the room, he said that's the soul. And when he entered the room, he saw that she had collapsed on the floor as she was in the bathroom, doing some bathroom-related activities. So her soul had left, apparently, and he immediately was able to give some first aid, and the soul returned. At another time, his wife was always listening about Krishna. At another time, he asked his wife, "Where are you now?" And she said, "I'm in Vrindavan. What are you doing?" "Well, I'm collecting the droppings of the cow, and I'm making fuel from it." In other words, this devotee had a glimpse of a parallel identity, we would say in psychology, or let us use a more spiritual expression. She had a glimpse of her soul being engaged in the activities in which gopis are engaged in Vrindavan, in this wonderful transcendental cowherd settlement, where they take care of cows and use the products of the cows, in this case, fuel, the fuel from the cows. So this is a, when you hear sufficiently about Krishna, you will feel that some attachment will enter your heart, and from this attachment, your particular spiritual identity as a soul will bloom forth. This is the Shrutekshita path, the path of hearing. In the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada tells us a little bit about the scientific progression on the path. When I think of a path, I always think of where you started, where it's in the middle, and where the end. For instance, when you go to Yamunotri, then you start at one point, and then you go the long, winding, narrow path up the Himalayan mountains, and you come to a place where you're very close to the Yamuna and can say your Gayatri very nice. Then I do remember a forest in full bloom through which we went, and finally we went up to Yamunotri, where there is a wonderful hot bathing tank where you can immerse your tired and weary body and relax your muscles. Who has gone on this path? Adi Purusha has gone on this path. So when you go on the path of bona fide hearing, there are five stages through which you should progress, just like you go through different stations when you go to Yamunotri. And I would like to make you familiar with this. The first stage is called Shravandas, the stage of hearing. This is from the verse 8, page 76 of Nectar of Instruction. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities and pastimes, one attains to the stage of acceptance called Varanadas. You actually begin to accept these pastimes as the reality. And when you look on this material world, you think, well, this is only the billowing smoke of illusion. Hare Krishna. The billowing smoke of illusion. Is that an English word? The billowing clouds of illusion in your life. You actually think Krishna's pastimes are more real than your own activities, which are dictated by the modes of material nature. Hare Krishna. Varandas, you accept. Acceptance means also you accept your initiation into the bona fide process of spiritual advancement. And on another stage, Varandas can also mean you accept that you are a spiritual identity, like in Bhajan Rahasya, where you chant, Ayinanda Tanuaya, my Lord, I've fallen from this spiritual world into the material ocean. I'm only your servant. I have nothing to do with this ocean. Varandas. Huh? In the Babaji line, a line which is different and places emphasis on Smaranam as the main process, Varandas means also the acceptance of a probatory, a probational, a testing spiritual body, which is given by the guru, and then it's seen if it fits to your mood. Mm-mm. But I will not talk about other traditions here, because I want to quickly come to our main point. I want to tell you a lila today. So when you have accepted and become really attached to hearing Krishna Katha, you are able to chant in ecstasy and experience bona fide ecstasy in Krishna consciousness, which is the stage of smaranavasta, the stage of remembering. And as you remember Krishna's pastimes throughout the day, what does Krishna do now? What does he do now? What does he do now? You will enter into progressive stages of rememberings, which become thick like the flow of honey. There is a stage is called Dhruvanu Smriti, where it's compared like flowing honey. You know, when you have honey, didn't bring a glass of honey, but I should have done so, because some of you are tired from that heavy digestion work which you do at the moment. You know, when you pour honey, it goes in a thick, uninterrupted stream. It's also what is called in philosophy, and it goes, it's a stream of nectar. So your mind will be in that stream of honey. It's called a Svarasika meditation, in which you are actually thinking about the pastimes of the Lord. I have heard yesterday from a dear devotee that older devotees, also Gaudiyas, are often trying to implement this remembrance by reading literature which is conductive to this remembrance. And Srila Prabhupada used to say, give us the Krishna book, and hint by giving us the Krishna book that it's an important practice to remember Krishna's pastime. So finally come other stages, which is called samadhi, and that is when you're are fully absorbed and you are in your original constitutional position, and finally sampatti, that is the perfection of life, when you have reached your spiritual identity. My dear devotees, Hare Krishna, tired and awake devotees, if you are giving constant oral listening to the beautiful pastimes of Lord Krishna, you will find the potency of Krishna Leela working on your heart, so that you will actually experience, not in theory, but in actual practice, these wonderful experiences. Hearing Krishna Leela, in other words, will make you very qualified. It is said so that it is said, because in Krishna Leela, or hearing Krishna Leela, the wonderful energies of Krishna will work, which is the Krishna's attractive potency. You will be attracted away from Maya to Krishna, and Krishna's potency of liberating you from your material identity. Some devotees, and yesterday also a wonderful devotee came to me and said, I'm so lazy when it comes to spiritual practice. I cannot chant, I cannot concentrate, and so on. But I told the devotees, then hear about Krishna repeatedly, and by this you will become qualified and eligible. So today I have prepared one Krishna Leela. Also, I have one helper with me who will soon manifest here on the stage. And I would like to talk about this Krishna Leela today. I know, I'm a little worried. I think we have to put it a little louder so that I don't need to scream so much to reach it. You see, we do have a tired audience. This is, in those who give lectures know this is the graveyard shift. When your audience comes from a heavy meal, it's the graveyard shift. Hopefully the monkeys will jump around in us, then we will become awake. Yes, you are free to wake up my audience, do something which monkeys do. We could throw some bananas into you and then the monkeys would come. Hare Krishna. I will do this when I see you falling asleep, Aniruddha. Then I will throw a mug. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. They're very nice. The rule, when you have some relationship with a monkey, the idea is never look at them. The moment you establish a relationship, you are bothered. And the second rule is never smile at them, because when they see your teeth, they interpret this body language as an aggressive showing the teeth a readiness to fight, and they will answer by also showing their own readiness to fight.
Also, you shouldn't put your ears forward when you show your teeth.
When you show your teeth, you should not put your ear forward, because that would mean also aggression. Yes. The assistant? No, another assistant will come. The monkeys I have ordered them to briefly show, but I have not given so much emphasis. But here's another. Okay, are you ready for Krishna Leela?
Yes, Hariwal.
Sit properly. Would you like me to wake you up? Not necessary? I also don't want to do it in Braj. But what I do with my ordinary and with the vest, I ask them for 3 minutes to hold their arms like this, and that rechannels the energy flow in the body, and then you can't. It's intense, but we don't do this before Giriraj. We don't want yogic blessings. We want others. All right. Hare Krishna. Is Mahajwala here? No, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Namo Rama Hare Hare Balaram's birthday came. Oh, it was such a hot day. It was excruciating hot. Somehow or other, Balaram stayed home at that day, spending the time with his mother Rohini, who asked him to do what you do on a Vedic birthday, that is, give presents. Krishna went with the cowherd boys after a whole day of herding the cows to the river Jamuna. And although the Jamuna was not in its natural state, somehow the Sakas, the cowherd boys, wanted to drink the water and also the cows. Sridhar Swami says, the Yamuna water had been brought to the stage of boiling because Kaliya, the thousand-headed snake, lived within the Yamuna. There was a strong vapor rising which was very poisonous, and any birds flying overhead would immediately die just breathing the smoke. The poison was so strong that around the entire boundary of the lake, going back a distance of 8 miles, there was nothing left alive, just poisonous vapors carried by the wind. So Krishna had seen his cows and cowherd boys drinking the water of the Yamuna, which was poisoned by Kaliya, the terrible snake, and he had seen them coming unconscious and then dying. Krishna, when he saw that his dear associates lay dead on the ground, thought, "Oh, my pure devotees, they have become lifeless." So he could have just desired to bring them back to life, and by his pure desire, or only his desire, which moves the whole world and moves creation, maintenance and destruction, the cowherd boys would have come back to life. But no, Krishna thought, they are my special devotees and I want to revive them, not just by my desire, I will glance at them. Krishna only glances at his devotees. And he gave them a special glance, which is like a shower of nectar. Immediately, the cowherd boys got up. The cows got up. And we will hear a little later about one cow called Tungi, what she experienced when the glance of Krishna fell upon her. Subal said, "Oh, what just happened? Just a moment ago we were dead." And Sridham answered, "Perhaps some Brahmana came and quickly chanted some mystical mantras or applied some magical herbs on us." But Ujjwala gave the answer, No, you ignorant boys. It could have only been some special arrangement by Krishna. Don't you remember what Garga Muni said at the name-giving ceremony of Krishna? He said, you boys will easily cross over all obstacles by Krishna's glance. So Krishna has glanced upon us and brought us back to life. My dear devotees, from India and from Australia and where else? Germany of all places. Your life will be perfected if Krishna or Srimati Radharani glances upon you and brings you back to life. Now we are walking in our dreams of material forgetfulness. When Krishna glances upon us, then only we will come back to life. Krishna can revive with his glance everything, and as Mahavishnu, he just glanced onto this world and brought all the souls by his pure glance into the world. This is how powerful Krishna's glance is. Why was the Yamuna so poisonous? Well, Kaliya, the son of Katru, had taken up residence there out of fear of Garuda. And Krishna, knowing this, wanted to drive away Kaliya from the waters of the Yamuna so that the water would be very pure. And for that reason, he did what he did on our Govardhan retreat. He climbed on one tree. That tree was not a neem tree like this one. Krishna climbed on a Kadamba tree, which was the only tree left in that area. When he stood on top of the tree, he adjusted his turban and his belt, looked down into the boiling poisonous water of the Yamuna, and with one big jump, jumped into the waters of the Yamuna, which gave a huge, huge reaction. Krishna is the most heaviest of all the heaviest, those who are heavy. And he jumped and made a splash and a movement within the water, which was noted by Kaliya, who was deep in the water in a castle built of water. Kaliya knew the magical art of using water to build. Hare Krishna. This engineering art is not yet known to Yamunacharya, but Kaliya knew it. It was a castle made of structures within water. Kaliya thought, who dares to enter into my kingdom? And he came to the surface of the river Yamuna. My dear devotees, when he came with his thousands of hoods, it was really a scene to behold. It was frightening as the many hoods of the demon came through the water, and Kaliya stared for a long moment at Krishna. As he looked at Krishna, he felt mixed emotions. But finally, Hare Krishna, have a good yatra, a good journey, and see you soon again. Adipo. We are very sorry that you leave us, but we will see each other in another time. Hare Krishna, drive safely. So Kaliya had mixed emotions. But then when he looked at Krishna, his demoniac emotions won. And he looked with anger. The anger was becoming heavier and heavier and heavier. And finally, Kaliya came forward and bit the Lord on his chest. This is what happens when a demon looks at Krishna. He is not pleased. In fact, he is angered. But when a devotee is looking at Krishna, he becomes more and more moved in deep feelings of bona fide attraction. Then Kaliya jumped at Krishna with his whole body and wrapped him in his coils. Now, Sanatan Goswami saw this pastime in what is called Vidyusa Pradyaksha. It's a perception which purified souls can have who enter into the pastime of the Lord and see everything which is going on there. In other words, they have reached that stage of the city, Vastu city ultimately, and they are able to actually see the pastimes going on. And Sanatan Goswami, I would like to use his voice now, jumps at this time in our discussion. He says, no, Sachinandan Swami, it's not like you say. It's not that Kaliya got the overhand of Krishna. According to my perception, Kaliya's biting the Lord should be understood as his heartily kissing the Lord's limbs and his covering him with his snake's body should be understood as his firmly embracing all the Lord's limbs. Don't say he bit and he wrapped. Therefore, when we hear in the Bhagavatam that Kaliya was with anger, it means as if he had anger, but actually he is with pure love. Therefore, the Lord is about to show him great mercy. And Krishna's appearing stunned in the coils of Kaliya is because the Lord is stunned in the ecstasy of being embraced by him with great love. This is how I have perceived it. Hare Krishna. This is how the Acharyas. Now you might ask yourself the question, why did this demon who saw the most sweetest of the Lord, whose every limb is so sweet, why could he become angry at Krishna? How is this psychologically possible? We will now go deeper than Carl Gustav Jung could ever imagine to go, who is very much even considering past lives in his psychoanalytical analysis. We will go with the Garga Sanhita into the last life of Kaliya during the Manvantara of Svayambhuva Manu at the beginning of the creation. Kaliya at that time was a sage named Vedashira who had an ashram which was once visited by a great sadhu called Ashvashira. Ashvashira was on his walking through the nature and he saw there's this beautiful ashram, just like we saw when we were at Prem Sarova, this beautiful kunj. It was actually an ashram and we decided to use it for our Krishna Katha. So this Ashvashira came to meditate innocently in the ashram of Vedashira. Vedashira should have received his guest, but he was actually so envious, he did not want to share his space with this other sadhu who wanted to meditate there. And he said, get out, this is my ashram, I have made it. So Ashvashira, Mani Manjari surprised, but it is possible, this feeling. Ashvashira was so disturbed, it said, you are not a sadhu, you hiss like a snake. Become a snake in your next life. You are so envious. Then Lord Vishnu appeared and told these two quarreling sadhus that he would place his lotus feet in the next life on Vedashira's head, who would be in the body of a snake. So then Vedashira took his birth with the first generation of great snakes to appear in the universe from Daksha's daughter, Katru. So he still had that past life mentality in his mind. He still was an envious person. My dear devotees, sanskaras, impressions, are so strong that they carry over from one life to another lifetime, as we can see in this amazing Leela. So, at that time, when Lord Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, An old man who was there saw this, and with great speed he began to run towards the village of Braj to inform all the Brijabasis. Do you know what some of the Brijabasis were doing? Celebrating Balaram's birthday. You know everything. Or you have not slept at the beginning of this Krishna Katha. So, there was Balaram's birthday celebration going on. All of a sudden, this old man came into the village and said, "Alas, alas! Oh, Maya! Krishna is in the grips of a terrible serpent. He is dying. He is dying. Where is Nanda Maharaj? Where is Balaram? Someone please do something immediately before it's too late." When the people of Braj heard this, they became like running corpses. They fell dead, but they ran nevertheless. They followed somehow Krishna's footprint, which was left in Vrindavan, and until they came to the Yamuna. You might think, why was the footprints of Krishna left in Vrindavan? On the ground, in the preparation of this, for this lecture, I walked in Vrindavan, and on the dust, and I have a very, very unmistakable footprint with my new Birkenstock shoes. So when I came back, I looked for my imprints of the Birkenstock shoes, but I found on them cow's print and tractors, and I couldn't see my insignificant footprints any longer. This is not so in Krishna's case. When Lord Krishna walks through Vrindavan, his footprints are never erased, because everyone in Vrindavan, even the wind, is part of a secret contract that never will anyone crawl over Krishna's footprint. They honor Krishna so much. The wind will not blow over Krishna's footprint. The cows will not step on Krishna's footprints. There were no tractors. There were tigers. They would not walk on Krishna's footprint, because the footprints of Lord Krishna are just so wonderful. Hare Krishna. So they could follow the tracks. But they looked like running corpses. Then as they came to the bank of the Yamuna, they saw Lord Krishna lying motionless into the coils of this serpent. The body must have been double the size of this tree trunk. And Kaliya seemed to try to, what is it called, show Krishna to death, like pythons do with their victims. And the moment this happened, an amazing reaction happened. And we will go to this reaction in a moment.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jaya Kaliya Damana, Kaliya Damana, Kaliya Damana. Kaliya Damana, Jaya Krishna Kaliya, Jaya Krishna Kaliya, Jaya Krishna Kaliya, Jaya Krishna Kaliya.
As the Brajbasis approached this unimaginable scene, Nanda Maharaj shouted, alerting them to three kinds of bad omens. No, two kinds of bad omens, but there were actually three kinds of bad omens. Nanda Maharaj said, look, look, one moment there's lightning with no clouds. Then suddenly darkness comes, but it's still daytime. Actually, there are four bad omens. Then it seems to rain, but the sun is shining. There must be a terrible meaning. Krishna must be in danger. At that moment, as they were running, the Brijbasi's man's right side, Shok, is correct, right side? Yeah? Left side. Left side shook violently, and the women's right side shook violently. And it was so violent that some of the Brajavasis fell on the ground as if felt by a lightning. Sanatan Goswami has observed this. They fell on the ground and then they were standing up again. And Sanatan Goswami said their standing up was like a dead creature which is somehow struck by a thunderbolt. And as a result, rises up only to immediately fall to the ground again. Have you ever been struck by a thunderbolt? Most probably not, otherwise you would not be here in this sacred assembly. But if you are struck, even if it's a dead body which is struck. I once saw, when I was out in nature, one of my early friends got struck by the thunderbolt. And then it was night, we were in the night, and then I was so helpless, he had fallen on the ground, and then a second type, the lightning, which I feel was meant for me, struck his body, and it was electrified for a moment. it came to life again. This is how the Brajbasis were. They were lamenting. They were looking at Krishna. Mother Yashoda would make a big, big philosophical worry when she would only see perspiration on Krishna's forehead. Now Krishna looked as if he was dead in the coil of Kaliya. You can't imagine what this did to the Brajbasis. In the Vishnu Purana, an older gopi states, it is better that all of us together with Mother Yashoda enter into this poisonous, mighty lake of the King of Serpents. We don't want to return to Vrindavan, which is no longer appropriate for us. After all, what is the use of the day without the sun? What is the use of the night without the moon? What is the use of the cows without their bull? Or what is the use of Vrindavan without? Deprived of Krishna, we shall not return to Vrindavan. No, this forest is no longer fit to be resided in. Just like a lake which is deprived of water. And then the elderly gopis had to somehow give a ventil for their anxiety. They had to let the anxiety out on someone. Usually when I'm in anxiety, Gaurahari has to get it. You need a ventil. So they needed also a ventil. It's just pure psychology, anxiety psychology. It's very amazing to us that Krishna's mother Yashoda still maintains her hankering to reside along with him in Vrindavan, where that Lord Hari exhibited his complexion like that of the petals of the blue lotus. But oh wretched woman, how can we remain in the cow pastures without seeing Lord Hari? His eyes as shining as the petals of a full-blown lotus? All the wealth of our minds has been stolen away by Krishna's most charming talks. Therefore, we will not go back to the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj without the lotus-eyed Lord Krishna. Just see, O gopis, how even while being enveloped in the coils of the King of Serpents, Kaliya, Krishna is still glancing at us with his beautiful, smiling face. So, Krishna is there in the coils of the serpent. He's pretending to be unconscious, but he smiles. Sometimes he opens his lazy eyes. He smiles. In the midst of the greatest turmoils, Krishna always smiles. At the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, when Arjuna had his nervous breakdown, Krishna smiled at him and spoke smilingly. So Krishna now smiles. Balaram sees that everyone is shedding tears like the waves of a powerful river. And he tries to check them entering into the water, but he sees he is no longer able to hold them. He says, "Stop! Gaga Rishi Muni has blessed this Krishna that he would save us from all troubles. How will he ever be overwhelmed by troubles? I asked you, can a wind blow away mountains? Can darkness swallow the light? Or can an ordinary water snake create danger to Krishna? No. I asked you, it's not possible." But then he faints himself. And when he gets up, he decides it's enough. He calls out, "O Krishna! O Krishna!
O Krishna!
Krishna!
Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
These people are not your associates in Vaikuntha. These people are not your monkey associates." You know, like when Lord Rama came with monkeys. "They are not the Yadavas. They are the people of Braj. You are their only life and soul. Can't you see? They are dying now." Then he continued, "Lord, I have no power to save them. Are you not the merciful Krishna, the only friend of the people of Braj? Please give up this useless pastime. Otherwise, your gentle heart will become filled with grief. Even Balaram, Guru Tattva, loses his composure and gets nervous. This is really too much. Now, finally Krishna, in the coils of Kaliya, sweetly announces to the demon, "For now you have shown me your powers, now I will show you my powers. Just watch." And he started to expand himself. More and more Kaliya developed a sweat to hold him. Then he developed a sickly sweat. And then he couldn't hold him any longer. His coils were wrapped open and Krishna jumped into the water. There he began to swim. And Krishna swimming is quite something. As he rotated his arms in the swimming movement, he created beautiful music. But again, Kaliya was so angry and so demoniac that he couldn't appreciate the Lord of Sweetness. And he began to follow him around in circles. And Krishna smilingly swam in big circles, and Kaliya, whoosh, whoosh, "I get you, I get you, I get you," was following him. Kaliya's eyes gazed at Krishna like glowing coals as he pursued the Lord, whom not even the yogis can capture. Flames emanated from his mouth and his fangs were like deadly daggers ready to jam into the body of Krishna. But Krishna went faster and faster. Then, finally, as Kaliya was getting exhausted, Krishna turned around and in one swift movement captured one of the heads of Kaliya and jumped on the head and started to dance. And as the Lord of all fine arts danced, the jewels which were kept on the head of Kaliya began to illuminate the beautiful reddish soles of Lord Krishna, and his feet began to shine all over Vrindavan. At this moment, the Gandavas, who saw an opportunity to serve the pastimes of the Lord, appeared with three kinds of instruments, playing the most beautiful of ragas, because they understood our Lord wants to dance. It's an unusual situation, but if he wants to dance, let him dance. They had wind instruments, they had string instruments, and they had percussion instruments with which they produced the most beautiful of ragas. Now when the gopis observed Krishna's elegant dance movements, which are so absolutely fascinated, the gopis immediately forgot about the dangerous circumstance, and a mood came forward which is known to experts as the Purvaraga. This all happened before they had met Lord Krishna in the night of the Vrindavan forest for dance. They were all in love with Krishna, and they thought, "Oh, Krishna is dancing. We want to also dance with him." Imagine how attractive Krishna must be, that when the gopis saw him, they forgot the flames issuing from Kaliya's mouth, the dagger-like tongues, the squinting of deadly poison, which came out of the they wanted to join the Lord of all fine arts and dancing. Can you now understand how attractive Krishna must have been, so that they were ready to forget all this danger? It must have been utterly amazing. And the Lord, who saw the innocent desire of the gopis to join him in dancing, he accommodated them by what we learn the day after tomorrow by his Leela and Yogamaya Shakti. He used his powerful energies in the elegant movement of a dancer. He invited them to step on the heads of Kaliya. And the gopis went up, and as they listened to the music, the musical rasa entered into them, and they also began to dance and jingle with their foot. And it was a dance festival which was never even seen, which is not even imagined in the land of Maya from where we come. It was the best of all dance festivals. After Krishna had danced for some time, Kaliya began to show the signs of exhaustion. As Krishna danced, he began to increase the strength of his dancing step, and he began to crush the heads of Kaliya. And Kaliya became extremely exhausted, and he began to vomit poison. My dear devotees, this did not look in any way bad. It looked like flower offerings. It looked so fantastic and beautiful. And by his vomit, all his enviousness came out. Wouldn't it be nice if we could go to the bathroom in the night when no one sees us, and then go like, and we are done with it. Kaliya lost all his enviousness on that day. His wife had many wives, had preached to him many, many times to become a devotee of Krishna. His wives were great devotees of Krishna. But Kaliya was such a demon that he could not appreciate the preaching of his wives, just like an envious person can never appreciate Lord Krishna. When you have envy in your heart, it's like a desert where the seed of bhakti doesn't take place. But now, Krishna, it was different. Kaliya had been touched by the lotus feet of Krishna. It had been purified by those beautiful lotus feet. The wives of Kaliya, who saw their husband trying to attack Krishna when Krishna danced on one hood, the other hoods came close, but Krishna quickly danced on the other hoods. Imagine, I heard these were thousands of hoods. How he must have jumped from hood to hood. I don't know if you were ever dancing on big stages in your life and singing to halls full of audience, but we had stages which were moving, and I remember.
Moving?
Yes. We had the stage of the Rolling Stones, the same stage when we worked with Gauranga Bhajan group, and you know, you have to, it goes up and down when it gets ecstatic, and we had to jump. I was the dancer. I had to jump from one platform to the other. And then you had to watch the other platform. But we only had three. It is a highly dangerous. And one time I almost broke my one toe. But Krishna had to take care of 1,000 or more dancing stages and jump from stage to stage. It is incredible. And those who have danced on moving stages can appreciate this. it's extremely, it requires a high sense of coordination of movement.
Were your stages trying to bite you?
My stages were not trying to bite me. It was a very... please just observe the very unusual situation of this Krishna Leela. It is a very extra, out of... extra, it was never there. So... yes. So the wives saw, like wives can see the intimate movements of their husband's mind when they are tied together for many long years in an affectionate or hateful bondage. It must be an intense feeling. They can see the mood. So Kaliya. Wives who had prayed a moment ago, may we become widows, this demon raises his hoots against Krishna, changed the prayers and understood the husband changed his moods. He became a devotee, being in contact with the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. They prayed for his benefit, because they saw he was coming to his senses. The beautiful prayers, and Kaliya listened. And then he was also able to see his mistake and pray. He had become a devotee. He had become a devotee by being in contact with Lord Krishna, who had climbed the very wonderful jeweled pastime place of Kaliya's hood. He had become a devotee by being in contact with the Nagapatnis, his own wives, and he had become a devotee by being in contact with the gopis. The enviousness left his heart, and he could understand that the person who was crushing him was not his enemy, but he was his best of friends. He could understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, that he is the only friend and well-wisher, and that he is the owner, only owner of everything. And in this way, the sinful demon gave up his sense of lording it over and his sense of enjoying independently from Krishna. And he made in his heart an allegiance to Krishna. He surrendered to Lord Krishna. Kaliya's, there is a principle here. We are meant to be together with Krishna, my dear devotees. The wall of enviousness keeps us so much separate from Krishna. When we come in contact with Krishna, our first contact with Krishna is not pleasing, because first some bad things have to come out. Some of you were sweating it through the japa retreat, and you know when you were on this that Vilas Gar, a mountain which you will never forget for the rest of your life. You went through moments of fear and pain. Your insecurity, your psychological dysfunctions came to the light of the day. You were purified. Some of you were complaining and saying, I thought this should be a nice experience. No! You are not yet nice. The bad things have to come out. The monkeys have to jump away from your mind. and at that time, when this has happened, when the surrounding monkeys of our minds have gone, then we will taste the sweetness. This is a principle. Like in Kaliya's Leela, and also in our Leela, the poison has to come out. And this happens when the holy name dances on the tongue of, on the snake-like tongue, the moving tongue which we have. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. When Krishna saw that the great demon had come to his senses, he took some cloth from the Nagapatnis, made a rope from it, and bound the rope playfully through one set of nostrils, and began to ride with the Kaliya snake through the Yamuna on a very pleasurable and playful excursion. Sometimes he brought it the Kaliya with his flute, right, left, right, left, and he took his playfulness out. Kaliya afterwards requested the Lord to give him one blessing, that he could offer a proper arati to him, and the Lord followed this request and went onto a lake, on an island within the lake, and there Kaliya offered the most beautiful of aratiks to the Lord, together with his wives. Then they presented different jewels to the Lord, and garlands to the Lord. Amongst the jewels was the celebrated Kostuba jewel. This jewel was previously with Krishna, but when he danced, he had unknown to or unseen by anyone else thrown it and it slipped into the treasury of Kaliya. And from there, when they wanted to give something, they found this priceless jewel and gave it back to Krishna, because Krishna wanted that they give him also something nice. Then Krishna came back from the island to the beach where his devotees were waiting for him. It's described that he was very much dressed up. He was dressed by his devotees, the wives of Kaliya. And he had a wonderful garland, a very beautiful dhoti. So he should not swim now in the water and make all this wet. So the servants of Kaliya came, they were snakes, and they were underneath the surface of the water, and they gave Krishna a ride, and Krishna just came like this on the bank, most probably playing his mind enchanting flute. Krishna came like this, and you can't imagine what happened. He flooded the bridge Basis. They jumped up and down. Streams of tears flooded from the happy eyes of Nanda and the others, and they received their Krishna, their hero, who had made another mind-enchanting leela. They received him amongst themselves and gave them another artik. At that time, they decided, because they felt so much close to Krishna, we wish to be together with Krishna. And they slept in the forest in the night. They had an open-air sleep. This was what they did. Rupa Goswami comments about this beautiful pastimes by saying, "O Krishna, I think that your pastime of subduing the Kaliya demon should not at all be limited to this one occasion, because there is a more dangerous snake, a more dangerous Kaliya snake than that snake in the lake of my heart. Please, my dear Lord Krishna, come now into the lake of my heart and subdue that even more dangerous snake from the lake of my heart." This is the prayer. My dear devotees, if you follow the Shutekshita path, that is the path of hearing these pastimes, reading them, praying to Krishna while while he unfolds his pastime, something very beautiful will enter your heart. Lord Krishna, who is like the sun, will dispel the darkness of illusion. You can also meditate about this pastime like my young assistant has done. And retell it. Sit here. Here is my young writer. Sit properly. I will introduce her. She is the daughter of Champakalata and the granddaughter of Mother Umila. And she will now read from an original piece of literature which she has prepared just for the occasion on Krishna's Leela.
My name is Tungi. I live in Vrindavan, which is a very nice place.
Slowly.
Birds sing, peacocks dance, and beautiful fragrant flowers sway in the wind. Every day I go to the Jumna River with Krishna and Balaram and other calves to graze on the soft green grass on the bank. I look forward to going to Jumna because I love Krishna so much. He is my best friend. Seeing Krishna is ecstatic when he comes to get me to go
to the forest.
This day, I jumped and ran with my tail flying high in the air to him, and he patted me on the head. In return, I licked him on his cheek. Krishna, liking it, gave me a big hug. In return, I gave him 3 licks on each cheek. Krishna laughed. And I mood a happy moon. It was a very hot day when we went to Jumna as usual. Balaram didn't come with us. I don't know why he didn't. When we finally arrived at Jumna, I saw that all around the
grass.
That all around the grass and trees were dead. Also, when birds flew above Jamuna, they died. We were all very thirsty. I thought that if something bad did happen to us, Krishna would save us anyhow. When we drank Jamuna water, we all died, except for Krishna, because he didn't drink any. It was amazing. When he just looked at us, we all came back to life.
You read very nicely. Please continue.
Then he climbed a tree and jumped in the water. I was shivering out of fear of him dying. If we died, couldn't he die too? He started to splash a lot in the water. Suddenly, Kalia, a great serpent, came up from the water and hissed at Krishna. My left side was twitching, and meteors fell from the sky. All the villagers came running to Jamuna. When they all saw what was happening, they all shook in fear. Just then, Kalia wrapped Krishna in his coils, and when Mother Yashoda saw, she tried to jump in too, but Nanda Maharaj stopped her. That was a good thing. Just watching Krishna, Yashoda fell unconscious. All the cows and villagers were ready to die. So was I. I fell down again and again, and mooed again and again. I tried to see him, and hoped he would escape. All of the other cows were crying and mooing like me. Then, Krishna, seeing his mother unconscious and everyone worried about him, somehow expanded in such a way that Kalia couldn't hold him anymore. He jumped out of Kalia's coils and started to dance on the snake's hoods. Every time he put his foot down, he thumped so hard that Kalia's hoods bled. Finally, Kalia almost died. Seeing him dying, his wives asked Krishna to stop stomping on him. So, merciful Krishna stopped and said, Kalia, go to the ocean. Garuda won't bother you anymore because you have my footprints on your hoods. So Kalia bowed down to Krishna. The wives of Kalia were so happy that Krishna stopped stomping on him and let Kalia go. So they offered incense and gave him jewels and silk garments. Then they circumambulated Krishna three times and left for the ocean. Yamuna River was clean and beautiful once again. When Krishna came out of the water, he went to hug his parents. After that, all of his cows ran toward him and licked him all over. He laughed and patted us all. All of the villagers were cheering that he was alive, and the cows were mooing happily.
Hari Bol! Please give your full applause.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The conclusion. My dear devotees, in all the scriptures it is said that hearing about Krishna is a very important sadhana, because by hearing we are awakened. Becoming awakened means that our attraction to Krishna, our Krishna Rati, our love for Krishna will manifest. Especially hearing in the atmosphere of the Dham is very, very potent. Some of you have looked at the bull who also came to hear. One and a half months ago in Orissa, there appeared a newspaper article about one bull who came to a Bhagavat Katha, that is a Katha of 7 days where the Bhagavatam is recited. He came already the fifth year, for 5 years, and the audience was curious if the bull would come for a sixth year, that is the year where the Bhagavad Katha took place this year, that was the sixth time. And when they saw that the mighty bull came and sat amongst them, they were first a little respectful and then very appreciative. This Krishna Katha is so very, very attractive. Even our bull has listened here in Vrindavan. Please do not become worried about the bull. Even if a snake appears here, don't become worried, or monkeys. Don't become worried. They are all great devotees. The moment you give an anxiety vibration, they also will become a little nervous. Be kind to them. Be happy. Accept them as devotees. They all here, everyone is a devotee who likes to hear about Krishna. I wanted to show you today in our theoretical part how by listening you will be led into different stages of advancement. And in the Leela part, I wanted to you to experience a Krishna Leela. I'm not so expert in narrating the Krishna Leelas, and if I have sometimes given examples from the world, it's really not so nice. I'm trying to do that to enliven all of my audience, even the absolute beginners in spiritual life. The Leela, in my mind, has a very, very wonderful effect. It's one of my favorite Leelas, which I read and meditate again and again, because it shows us how Krishna comes. And by the touch of Krishna, something happens in our heart. Kaliya became purified when the Lord danced upon him. So Rupa Goswami describes that when we chant, the Lord also comes in his form of Nam Prabhu and dances on our tongue. And for some time, you will experience what some of you experienced on Vilasgar, that is the release of unwanted thoughts and unwanted things and problem. But keep on letting Krishna dance on your tongue, and you will see how you will become not only free of unwanted things, but you will also become full of the most wanted things. In tomorrow's session, I would like to take you to a more philosophical corner. I would like to give you a few instructions from the Shastras, how you could listen and make the most of your listening. I will talk about five different ways of favorable listening and five different ways of unfavorable listening. And we will also hear a very interesting session. Yes, about something which I have taken from our glorious tradition, how to go deeper as you hear and access finally the level of meditating about Krishna. It's a very wonderful and responsible presentation. It will not be too high, but it will be also not too new for absolute beginners. But please all come and listen. Tomorrow's class will be my most important class on therapeutic listening. Then we will start with one leela, which will engladen the other. Hare Krishna, wait here. Please sit with us. Good. So this is the end of this presentation. Do you have any questions? We have 10 more minutes. There's Adi Purusha. There is our devotee from Anita Daya, I believe. And Gaurahari, did I see your hand? Mm-hmm. Yes. Adi Purusha Prabhu, please post your question. For those who listen to the tapes, our young artist was Padmavati, age 8. We should expect many books in the future from her. I wanted to show that even a child who is open to Krishna can enter into this thinking about Krishna. And she wrote something very amazing from the perspective of a cow, how Krishna gave me a big hug. In return, I gave him 3 licks on each cheek. Wonderful. So I want to thank you very, very much. You gave great pleasure. May your literary career be blessed by Giriraj. I just wanted to show that even a child can do it. Please start your own thinking of Krishna. Don't be left behind by an 8-year-old child. Hare Krishna. So, Adi Purusha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your presentations. I had a question. In the beginning you described the stages of bhakti, varana dasha, smarana vasta and so forth. And there are several different descriptions of different stages. But in most of those descriptions, we see that, like in this description, varana dasha, the probation period is one dasha, and then immediately smarana vasta, and there is an elaborate description of very advanced stages. So very often we see that the real practice, or the hard practice, period of work, of purification, is just one stage. Whereas in life, we see that it takes so much time, and it's so difficult. Why the focus is so different in these descriptions?
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhajan Rahasya, does what you have just highlighted. He says, after a few days, when one is purified, one should accept his spiritual body and go to the shloka Ayinanda Tanavitanuya. After a few days, what am I doing? The life experience is different after a few days, you know, you're fully purified. In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes something about this. He says, these results sometimes happen, but it may not happen to everyone. Do you remember this passage where he says that they do happen, and there are examples given in Shastras to those who are more or less torpedoed up to these stages, but it may not happen to everyone. The way I approach this question, why is it not so fast? In the beginning, in the beginning of my spiritual life, I was disappointed how long it took. Now, I'm taking great help from one statement which I read somewhere, that a flower is satisfied when it comes from the bud into the flower stage. In the same way, a devotee is satisfied about his development from a bud where he doesn't smell so nice for Krishna, and he patiently waits until he smells nicely. He is a fragrant flower which can be offered to Krishna. In other words, I'm no longer impatient when I see there I'm a little unadvanced. I'm thinking, well, okay, it takes some time until I am ready to be offered to Krishna in more confidential service. But this, as I answer your question, was not really your question, the attitude which we should take. Why sometimes we hear it is so easy? There are so many descriptions of the advanced stages and not so much of the difficult path in Krishna consciousness. See, we are very fallen. It takes a little long. We are in Kali Yuga. It takes, and in older times, people may not have been so fallen. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made this change in the sadhana, which many, many devotees cannot yet fully understand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not emphasize on the smarana related practices so much, because he held that people are now more fallen. And if we think too early of the confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis, at that time the wrong seeds will be watered, that is the seeds of lust, which are more numerous nowadays in our hearts than in a sattvic lifestyle which was before. I think times have shifted and we are more psychologically complex and more entangled and more contaminated as Kali Yuga advanced. Just see, you know, going nowadays into the internet means you really go into the red light district. You know, one press, innocent press on the bottom, bang, and there you are in the midst of the red light district of I don't know, Harlem or Amsterdam, you know. It has happened to devotees. They innocently used the computer. All of a sudden something came up which they had not originally intended to see, but when they saw it, they became quickly polluted in their consciousness. Nowadays we are really having a lot of chance for fall downs, which was not so easily available in previous times. This has left its marks on our psychology, and therefore the thing is there. But really, when it comes to anattas, if you want to work on them, there is sufficient information. For instance, Madhurya Kadambini, a very good description about this and how to go step by step in a realistic way. Yes. Adi Purusha. This is what I can answer to your question. Burijan Prabhu, your hand is up. Yet, please take the microphone.
Two thoughts in addition to what you said. Mm-hmm. One is that even Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's thinking himself so polluted and thinking of himself, in his own words, lower than a worm in stool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So from this, what I can understand is it's not. In addition to what you said, is that our false egos are the real, we have bigger, thicker false egos. And what we really have to gain from this long process of purification is humility and get rid of mm-hmm. our vanity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we become humble and give up this false sense of being great, then the progress is very quick, because at that point only we can take shelter of Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So there was is the question already in the translation available? Okay, so we will hear the translation now of the question.
So the question is, when a person concentrates on the holy name of the Lord for 25 minutes, it enters into samadhi. So the question is, does that mean that the devotee then realizes his spiritual identity?
Nita Daya's question has a background. The background is the yoga shastras who say that if you're able to concentrate for 1 minute and something, it's called, for a few seconds, it's called concentration. But when you hold your concentration for 25 minutes, it's samadhi. This is the background of the question. So if you are, now he asked, if you are able to concentrate on the holy name, are you in samadhi? No, samadhi here in these five stages, which are explained by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 8, means something else. It means really when the pastimes of Lord Krishna have entered while you chant in your heart. Samadhi in the bhakti tradition is something else than samadhi in the yogic tradition, in other words, in the hatha yogic tradition. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Then there's a question of Gaura Hari. This will be our last question.
Yes, I read actually in this pastime that Krishna did wait quite long time.
Yeah.
Embraced by the snake, and all the Vajrasi would look at the scene. And the question is, why did Krishna wait so long?
Why did Krishna wait so long? There is a general motivation of Krishna when he waits in his revelation. Krishna waits so long in order to evoke the feelings of his devotees. For instance, he didn't appear to the to the gopis. He kept them at bay. He wasn't. But when later the gopis asked him why he did so, his immediate response was, "I wanted to increase your feelings of love." Krishna waited long in the case of Draupadi, who called out, "Krishna, save me," when the rascals tried to strip her naked. Krishna, later Draupadi asked him, "Krishna, you waited so long before you appeared. Why?" And Krishna answered, "O Draupadi, who does not know my real intentions, you had called for me, but you had surrendered to Bhishma, Drona, and the kings, asking them for help. I wanted that you call for me and surrender to me also." So Krishna waits also in the case of an ordinary sadaka, like some of us, because he wants that you, while doing your sadhana, come to the stage which Burijan Prabhu lectured about and just now talked about, this feeling of humility. See, when you wait for Krishna, don't become an atheist. When you wait for Krishna to show himself, become a humble soul. Then Krishna quickly appears. Hare Krishna. Looking at the wristwatch, I'm 4 minutes over time. This is not much. I thank you very, very much for your kind participation. And I'm already looking forward for tomorrow. That will be, as far as I'm concerned, the best. Please do come. This will be very... I will give my best and have exciting subjects for tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Krishna Leela ki jai, Shri Krishna Daman ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Hare Krishna.